Good morning, Sunrise. Welcome to worship on this sunny, cold Sunday morning. We're so happy to have you guys worshiping with us online. This will be our last fully online service. Next week we'll be in person, so we're excited about that. But before we get there, we just want to thank you for worshiping with us. In just a sec, we're going to introduce a new song to you guys today, one that I'm pretty excited about. I've been wanting to do for quite a while, and then David put the bug back in my ear about this song. I think I've talked in the past just about when we worship, when we sing, when we praise. It changes things, changes our heart. It changes even the atmosphere around us. When we may feel depressed or stressed or fully anxious, when we praise, it changes something, and it brings us joy. It draws us closer to God in his presence, pushes away the darkness. And this song that we're going to sing this morning has a lot to do with that. Some of the words are, let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. So when we sing this morning, no matter what you're going through, let's sing these words, let's believe these words, and let's have them push away the darkness and draw us closer to God this morning. Let's worship.
Silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Ready to rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are when we claim your victory. Oh, let it rise, let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall, we'll trust the giants fall. We cannot survive when we praise you, the God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high, with all creation cry. The song that calms the storm inside of me. Oh, let it rise. Let praise arise. Let it rise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. We cannot survive when we praise you, the God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, 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 we praise you. Oh, 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 this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. Sing that again. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise. Until you break down every wall, we'll watch the giants fall. For we cannot survive when we praise you, the God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high, with all creation cry, God, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall, we'll watch watch the giants fall. For we cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you.
To see
about me. And you lay down your life to set me free. All that I am will serve you, Lord. And you open my eyes to see all the wonder and awe of Christ in me. Jesus, you're everything.
God, we sing of your praise this morning. You are worthy of our praise, of our glory, our worship that we bring to you, that we sing to you, that sacrifice of praise that we give. And God, thank you for the knowledge, the promise that when we worship you, it changes things in our lives, it changes our hearts and draws us close to you. And God, in faith, we believe that worship will push back the darkness. God, remind us this week when we feel the darkness pushing in, the stress, the anxiety, the depression, the anger bubbling up, God, that we would choose worship and we would choose praise to push that back out of our lives. And God, that the light would shine in and your peace would overwhelm us. God, we thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Dan, thank you. Band, thank you for leading us this morning. If you're here for the first time, welcome. My name is Dan Fisher. I get to serve on staff here with Dan and a few others here. We're glad that you joined us. If you're new, if you have any questions about what we're doing, who we are, how you can get involved, drop us a line in the Facebook comments. Shoot us a message in Facebook. But also make sure that you check out a link that we're going to post that you can fill out if you have questions, things that you'd like for us to pray for you about. There's a connect card there. Again, the link's going to show up for you. Click on that. We'd love to shoot you a gift if you do that, just to let you know that we care about you. There's some announcements that I want to make for you. The first one, those of you who've been walking with Sunrise for a while know Shanna DeWent, and that she's got a nonprofit in the area called the Rise Community Center. This week, I caught up with Shanna to help learn more about what it is that she and her nonprofit are up to, and I'm going to share that video with you now. So we've got Shanna DeWent with us here. Shanna, you run a nonprofit here in our area. Tell us who you are, what you're about.
Yeah, Shanna DeWent. Rise Community Center is the nonprofit. And for the last several years, we've operated a program called Spark. It's a mentorship program that serves youth that are under-resourced, often on the margins. And we've operated in Jenison and Hudsonville schools for the last several years. But due to COVID, not much has been going on this year. So we've just directed some of our resources toward some mental health scholarships for youth. some child care scholarships as well, just while parents were in a bind, having kids at home and still trying to work. So it's been a real blessing to be able to have Sunrise as a partner and be able to direct some of that funding where it was really needed this last year.
Yeah. So we've been partnered with you for a little while now. You've been doing some creative things. What's on the horizon for you this year? What are you getting excited about?
So coming up, we have a group that is called Connections, and this is really aimed at families that are just in survival mode. So we have about 30% of families in Ottawa County who are just getting by, making ends meet. They're one paycheck away from a possible disaster or any sort of crisis. And then we have about 15% that are living in poverty. So that's 45%. That's a large percentage of our neighbors that are just surviving each day. So this group is really meant to bring leaders and then allies. Allies are the mentors that journey alongside our leaders. And it's meant to bring them together and investigate poverty. So what personal and systemic barriers are keeping you from getting ahead? And then also working to build resources. And that's not just financial resources, but relational resources. How do we build a support system around people that are unseen and pretty isolated? And then looking at hidden rules and effective communication and spiritual poverty. So a holistic approach that's really taking a deep look at the gaps and then how we can work to help families just thrive.
Okay. So I know that one of the ways we worked with you was with the Spark program. With the things that you're describing, there are some new frontiers that you are pursuing, which I'm imagining creates new ways for us to engage with you. What are some ways that we at Sunrise can help out with what you're doing?
We're looking for people to just invest time, an hour and a half a week. If being an ally is something that you feel called to do, or working with our elementary kids an hour a week, we'd love to have you. So that comes along with dinner and just getting to know our neighbors in the community and walking alongside them. So I would love anyone who's interested, there should be some information following this, just to reach out to us, risecommunitycenter.org, or give me a call with questions.
Sweet. Shanna, thanks for what you're doing. We love that we're still in relationship with you. This has been a rough year. Thanks for catching us up on what we are doing. We're excited to see what God does in and through your Rice Community Center. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
So Shanna has been a great friend of ours for a while. For those of you who've been with us, you know that Shanna served on staff. When I jump off the stage here, what I'll do is I'll post a link to her website so that you guys can check out more of that. Look, what Shanna is doing, what Love Inc. is doing in our community right now, asking folks in our community to relationally connect with other people in our area, 30%, Shanna says, who are in need of some significant help right now. We want to be a church who does that. We take good care of each other, but we also can take care of ourselves while we help step into the community. So be sure to check out more information on that. Three more quick things. Immediately following the service today, not immediately, we want to give you guys enough time to eat lunch, but at about 12 o'clock today, there's going to be a kids' Zoom gathering that Penny Plowman will lead. If you've already signed up for that, you should have all the information that you need to jump in. If you have not already signed up for it, I think you can still join, but you'll have to have your own supplies. We don't have any more of those that we can distribute to you. Next week, we reopen. This room will be filled with people. We will still keep in contact with those of you who are online. You'll still be able to watch from the comfort of your own favorite recliner, or you can join us here in one of our many comfortable, not reclining chairs. Youth group is going to start up again that same week. So March 3rd, that's next Wednesday, we're going to go ahead and start that back up. So be sure, if you're a student, invite your friends. Tanner's putting together some really great plans to help us reconnect relationally and to dive back into God's Word well. Well, I am excited this morning to welcome Noah. Noah Matthijs is Julie's husband. Julie Matthijs is our new administrative assistant here at Sunrise. Noah's a student at Calvin. He's preached several times, and we're excited to have him come this morning as we continue our conversation on the story, our story. Thanks, Noah.
Good morning. Once again, my name is Noah. It's good to be here reading God's Word with all of you. Julie and I started attending here a few months ago, and she was hired as the ministry assistant. We're blessed with a beautiful baby daughter, Alethea, who is just shy of 7 months old. But that's enough about me. Let's talk about Jesus. People of God, the word of God for us this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Hear these words. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, whenever I write sermons, my brain always likes to jump ahead to the application bit. What is God teaching us in this passage? But a text without context is a pretext for trouble. So this morning we're going to walk through some of the historical, cultural context of our passage. Remember, this passage was written 2,000 years ago in first century Palestine, not in modern 21st century America. So they might have picked up on some things which we might not see right away. So when we enter the story, we see these people, these parents, bringing their children to Jesus. And right away, we need to ask, who are these people? What's with the kids? And why Jesus? Now, these people were likely followers of Jesus. That's an easy one. They were almost definitely Jewish, and they were probably poor. We know these things because of some broader context clues. They are, first of all, in Israel. This is where the people of Israel are from, the Jews. And since they were bringing their children to Jesus, it's likely that they regarded him as, at the very least, a wise teacher, which was something that very few Gentiles at the time believed. There were a few exceptions, but Jesus' earthly ministry was primarily directed toward Jews. This also helps us answer some of our other questions. Throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, we see this idea of a blessing. We saw it a few months ago in the Jacob and Esau story here at Sunrise, but we see it other places as well, where someone blesses someone else, usually by action of laying on their hands, and in that way they put God's favor on them. It's almost like praying for them, but with a little bit more weight. And we know that not just anyone could bless just anyone else. Again, in the Jacob story, we see that fathers can bless sons. But we also see that priests and prophets can give blessings. So these parents that we find in the first verse of our passage are bringing their children to Jesus because they believe he is a prophet, a teacher. He is someone who has the authority to put God's favor on their children. Finally, we can guess that they were poor because they likely viewed Jesus' blessing as the only real way that their kids could have any success or security in life. If they were wealthy people, they probably would have put their trust in trust funds or in their property rather than in this up-and-coming desert preacher who spent his time with the outcasts of society, like the prostitutes, the lepers, and the tax collectors. So, we see that the parents in our passage and their children are poor, Jewish Jesus followers. And as I mentioned, this was not unusual for followers of Jesus. They were almost all Jewish. Many of them were poor. And that's why the second part of verse 1 is so interesting. These parents bring their children to Jesus to be blessed, and the disciples rebuke them. Now, the disciples, if you did not know, were a group of 12 Jesus followers that were hand-selected by Jesus himself to follow him and to learn from him. This was a very common practice in the day for Jewish teachers or rabbis. They would select one or many disciples to follow them around. For any other teacher, however, their only real job would have been to follow and to learn. But Jesus' disciples, because he became so famous and so popular, started to pick up other responsibilities. We saw this a couple of weeks ago as Jesus feeds the 5,000. He puts the disciples in charge of distributing the food. That's a good example. But we also know that Jesus' disciples were in charge of insulating him from the crowds. There were a lot of people who wanted to see Jesus, who wanted to talk to Jesus, who wanted to reach out and touch Jesus. So the disciples had to, they were in charge of crowd control. They had to vet all of the people who could come near Jesus. Now, children in the first century in Palestine did not have any social status. And this is why we see the disciples rebuke them. Most of Jesus' followers were Jewish. Most of them were poor, so those weren't the reasons. They were rebuked because they were bringing their children. In essence, the disciples were saying, Jesus doesn't have time for you. Jesus doesn't have time for kids. He has more important things to do and more important people to see. And like so many other times in the Gospels, especially in Mark, but also in Matthew, we see that the disciples, well, they don't quite get it. They don't quite get it right. They think they're being helpful. They think that they're like large and in charge, but they don't understand the significance of Jesus, the significance of who he was and why he came. They didn't quite get it right. And this is why Jesus becomes indignant. He's annoyed with his disciples for rebuking these parents and their children. So he decides to teach them a lesson. Rather than dismissing the children, Jesus welcomes them with open arms. Far from considering them unimportant, Jesus actually says, actually, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And in fact, not only does the kingdom belong to them, but anyone else who would not accept the kingdom as a little child will never enter it. In saying this, Jesus radically undermined the social structure of his day, and he flipped the disciples' expectations on their head. That was some of our historical cultural context. Now that we understand a little bit better how a first century Palestinian audience would have received the text, we can move ahead to our application. What might God be saying out of this first century text to a 21st century American audience? And what I love about this passage is that it will likely speak very differently to different types of people. It isn't because there isn't one unified meaning in the text. We'll get to that a bit later. But it does mean that as the gospel is calling us to be transformed into the image of Christ, some of us will have to change in different ways than others. So what does this passage say? What does Jesus mean when he says that you need to become like a little child? Traditionally, and perhaps most plainly in the text, to become like a child is to embody the childlike attribute of simplicity. Children had no status in the first century because they couldn't contribute to society. And by the time they could contribute to society, they weren't children anymore. That was kind of the marker that made you an adult. Do you know how prices work in the market? Can you have a conversation about politics? Can you contribute in some way? And the reason they couldn't contribute yet was because they were simple. Nowadays, we sometimes use that as an insult, almost. To call someone simple is to kind of say they're a little slow or uneducated. And that is certainly how the first century would have understood children. But with our passage and with Jesus, the attribute of simplicity is actually quite the compliment. Because sure, kids can't talk about politics or they don't know how pricing works in the market and they don't know how all the tools work on the farm, but That also means they aren't anxious about any of those things. They haven't complicated their world yet. They aren't caught up in all the little details of 401ks or W-4s or claiming dependence on your taxes or paying for gas. They aren't concerned with what's being said on the news or the latest developments in politics or the hard conversations that adults sometimes have about religion. And on that note, they haven't complicated their faith yet. They don't worry about supralapsarianism or infralapsarianism or the subtleties of Protestant thought on communion or the complexities of Paul's Greek construction in Romans 7. And the great news for us this morning is that we also don't have to understand those things. If I just used a few words that you don't know, that's okay. I don't understand them either. The point here is that Jesus didn't come just for the academic elite. He didn't come just for those who are educated. But he came for those who are simple, such as these. And in direct contradiction to what I just said, I'd like to talk a little bit about theology. This concept, this idea that the kingdom of God didn't come only for the educated, but also for the uneducated, is a doctrine that we call the perspicuity of Scripture. It's one of my favorite words, perspicuity. We say that Scripture is perspicuous. This is just a fancy way to say that Scripture is clear. You don't need any special knowledge. You don't need any level of education in order to understand it. Anyone may approach the text, whether they're 35 with a doctorate or 18, just out of high school, 10, 5, 3. Any one of these people can approach the text and read it, or in the case of the younger ones, more likely hear it, and they can understand and receive everything they need to know about the gospel. They can know that God created the world and he made it good, that humanity sinned and broke their relationship with God, that God made that relationship right again by sending his son Jesus to live a perfect life, die, and rise again. This is the gospel boiled down to its simplest form, and no matter what your level of education or IQ is, you may understand that, and you may receive it. This is the perspicuity of Scripture. But that's only one part of our passage. And it will only challenge some of us to change a certain way. Remember, I said this passage can speak to all of us. So there are some of us, like myself, you might be able to tell by my paragraph about perspicuity, that are challenged here to keep things more simple, not get so caught up in the details. But there are others of us this morning that are challenged in the opposite direction. Maybe we take everything at face value. Maybe we fail to cultivate any real curiosity about our faith. And this is why I walked us through perspicuity. It's our first step toward another characteristic of children, which Jesus calls us to adopt, curiosity. Yes, sometimes children are simple, but other times they can be quite the opposite. Have you ever spent any time with a 4 or a 5-year-old? They ask questions, lots of questions. How do cars move? How do you know which pedal is a gas pedal? Well, how do you know where you're going when you drive? How come cars don't run into each other? Why does everyone drive the same speed? Why? How? Children have this innate sense of curiosity. They want to know what stuff is and how stuff works and why things are the way that they are. And when we apply that characteristic to faith, it means we shouldn't just take things at face value. God wants us to be curious, to ask questions, to learn more about things. At times, even to be unsure and to doubt. As long as that doubt leads us to a faithful search for answers. These are the characteristics of children that each of us should hold in tension this morning as we approach the passage. Is God asking me to surrender my need to know every detail about everything and have a simple faith? Or is God asking me to consider in greater detail how different parts of my faith interact with my everyday life? But most powerfully is the characteristic which applies to both of the others, and which I believe applies to all of us this morning. This is that unified meaning in the text. Whether we consider a child's simplicity or their curiosity, each of those is built on the fact that children have incredible trust. I have a daughter who I mentioned earlier, Alethea. I could see her right now in the lobby. She's just shy of 7 months old, and already I can see some of these characteristics in her, perhaps most strongly, her trust. Julie hates when I do stuff like this, but I'm a dad, and I do. So sometimes I like to pick Alethea up by her pajamas, like a sack of potatoes, and just hold her there. Or other times I'll balance her on my hand and try to hold her up. And then the classic, I pick her up and I throw her as high as I can and I catch her. And I throw her higher still and I catch her. I see how high I can go. And Julie kind of hates when I do that because I'm putting our daughter in a potentially dangerous situation. But Alethea loves it. She can't get enough of it. She giggles and smiles and laughs and she wants me to keep doing it, right? Why is that? Why does my daughter like to be put in these adrenaline-inducing, dangerous situations? Well, the reality is she doesn't know that they're dangerous because she trusts me. She trusts that whenever I throw her in the air, I'm going to catch her again. She trusts that when I balance her on my hand, my other hand is always ready to steady her. She trusts that when I'm holding her by just her pajamas like a sack of potatoes, that I'm always ready to snatch her up if she slips. This characteristic, this undying trust, is what ties both of our other characteristics together. If God is calling you to be simpler, it's because you can trust that even if you don't have all the answers, He is still in control. And if God is calling you to dive deeper and ask big questions about your faith, it's because you can trust that He will help you find the answers you need. We can trust because of the Jesus we find in the last verse of our passage this morning. It says this: He took the children in His arms, placed His hands on them, and blessed them. Where we find the disciples being exclusive and only letting the important people get close to Jesus, we find a Jesus who welcomes the children, those who have no social status or importance, with open arms. God is inviting each of us this morning into deeper relationship with Him, deeper trust in Him, because He loves us. And because the kingdom of God, which was inaugurated with Christ's death and resurrection, and which will become fully realized when He comes again, belongs to such as these: those who are simple, those who are curious, and those who put their trust entirely in Him. Jesus loves and welcomes the children. And this morning, as we learn to become like the children, Jesus welcomes us to be close to Him. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, You are good. God, it is from Your fatherhood that we learn how to be parents. We learn from Your patience, Your grace, Your mercy, Your love. But God, this morning we also learn from You how to be like the children, to be simple and curious and to trust You. God, I pray as we go out into this week and as we go out into this season of Lent, that You would be with us, that You would shape us and mold us and transform us to be more like the children, and God, to be more like You. We love You. And we pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're going to continue in worship by singing and worshiping and praising God today. But we're also going to use this time to give of our tithes and offerings, and to we invite you guys to just worship in this way as well as we sow into the different things that Sunrise is a part of, like we heard about Shanna with Spark today and all the different ministries, and even like tangibly up on stage here, the musical equipment that we have to upkeep and do. So just all of your tithes and offerings help to us to continue these ministries. So as we worship, as we praise, let's sing together.
Spirit.
people of God, as you go out into this season of Lent and as you go out into this week, may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and stay with you always. Go in peace.